Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detective. This is Patricia Lemmer, your host, the author of Outsmarting Autism and the soon-to-be-published book on Total Load Theory. I'm excited today to have as my guest a longtime friend, Dr. Larry Pilevsky. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Patty. It's so good to be here.
Thank you, Larry, for doing this. You and I go way, way back.
Oh, I think into the 1990s.
It is in the 1990s. I was trying to figure it out, but Larry was one of the first people I know to jump on the DDR bandwagon and talk about what was causing so many kids to have developmental problems, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So for those of you who don't know Larry, and I don't think there are many of you, Larry's a well-known pediatrician practicing on Long Island and in New York City. And Larry, you were really a pioneer in our understanding of what was going on with these kids, weren't you?
Yeah, Patty, it was in the mid-1990s when I was still working in the hospitals. I was in the ER, I was in pediatric intensive care units, neonatal intensive care units, and I started to realize that all we did was take care of symptoms and all we did was make diagnoses, but we never really tried to understand why kids had the symptoms they had or why they were chronically ill. And it was in the 90s, Patty, that I started to notice parents developing this badge of honor around their child's diagnosis, and that's what they'd all talk about. We go to this specialist, we go to that specialist, we have this diagnosis, we have that diagnosis, we're on that medication. And I started to realize where my learning was diverging from what Western medicine was providing the families.
Quite a new paradigm, right?
Well, it was 30 years ago, and I think even in 2025, it's still a new paradigm to try to get to the root cause of what's bringing a child into what we now know is chronic inflammation.
Right, right. And you pride yourself in taking what you call a holistic approach. And let's start by talking about what that is. You've begun that by saying we want to know about root causes. But tell me, what do you mean when you say you as a pediatrician take a holistic approach to wellness and illness?
Well, it's so interesting, Patty, because people think of the word holistic and they think it's very woo-woo. What they fail to do is delve further into what holistic is, which means when a physician or a practitioner or a parent looks at a holistic approach, they're looking at the whole child, and they're looking at everything that's in the child's arena, the physical body, the mental body, the psychological body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, and looking at all facets of that child's life and what may be contributing to whatever level of wellness they're expressing or whatever level of symptom they're expressing. And the goal is to identify it. So you can have one kid who has asthma, And the most common problem for that kid in looking at root cause is their diet. They're allergic to foods that are bringing on an anaphylactic reaction in the lungs.
And how many families know that?
Right.
The main treatment for asthma is, here's your inhaler.
Right. Or here's your steroid. And yet another kid may have asthma, and the problem is not the diet. The problem is the kid is living in a mold-infested environment. And so the medical doctor in Western medicine would treat both kids with albuterol and steroids and maybe Singulair. But a holistic doctor or a holistic practitioner would try to understand, why does this kid wheeze? What are the contributing factors that make these children wheeze? And so for some kids, it's diet. For other kids, it's mold. For other kids, it's heavy metals. Other kids, it's parasites. It could be a combination of emotional issues and the like. And that's what holistic really means. It's actually forensic medicine. It's very scientific.
Right. And I love that you educate parents. You work in concert with the parents. You're not the expert and have the parent lays down and says, take care of my child. You make them a part of your healing team. And you help them be responsible for making changes in their lives that help their child heal rather than be the healer.
So when I first started in medicine, you know, I was the one that was supposed to give the orders. And I gave them to other doctors, I gave them to nurses, and I gave them to parents. And over time, I got, you know, inches shaved off my legs from getting my knees kicked every time I stepped over the boundary. And, you know, still I have to be very careful because I'm so passionate about it. Sometimes it does sound like, you know, I'm giving orders. But I ultimately look at parents and say, this is what I see. This is what I think will help. Let's try it. I'm not doing anything that would hurt your child. In fact, I may actually be opening up your child's ability to heal him or herself. And that's another piece of holistic medicine, Patty, that, you know, Western medicine ignores. And that is that the body has the innate capacity to heal. And my job as a clinician is to recognize why the body is off kilter and what are the factors that are pushing it off kilter in the diet, in the environment, in the air, in the social aspects, in the electromagnetic radiation, in the air pollution, and the mold, and the parasites, and all of that. And then by modifying it or removing it or changing it, we know that the body will get back on kilter if those stressors are taken away.
Right. So, Larry, you and I hadn't been in touch in a couple of years, and I heard you do a YouTube video with James Maskell, who has written a beautiful foreword for my upcoming book about why 1 in 6 kids today has a diagnosis. And I thought, I got to get back in touch with him. He really gets it. He's always gotten it. And I just don't know what's going on here, and Larry does. So, Larry, what do you think is happening in today's world? You say parents are in love with their diagnoses and with their team of experts, but something's going on here that... When you and I first met, we were talking about 1 in a couple hundred or even 1,000 kids. Now we're talking about 25 to 30% of our kids have some kind of diagnosis or two. And it's, something's happening. What are we talking about?
So the main issue that we met with was regarding 1 in 6 children have a neurodevelopmental disability. And the thing that most boggles my mind is that the mainstream medical system isn't stepping back and saying, wait a second, something's wrong. Why are so many kids having central nervous system brain instability? Why are they having seizures? Why are they having speech delays? Why are they having inattention? Why are they hyperactive? Why are they having learning disabilities? Why are they having seizures? Why? What's going on with their brain? And instead, we've just become complacent and said, oh, it's normal. We can live with it. And the fact of the matter is that they have made it out to be some genetic issue and then ignored the environmental elephant in the room.
Right.
And the elephant in the room, as you and I both know, and thankfully many more parents and many more practitioners know, is the ingredients in the shots that we give to kids.
Right.
Those ingredients inflame the brain. And I'm going to say something very sharp, Patty. The pharmaceutical industry knows that the ingredients that are in the shots do go into the brain. They know it because the design of the injections utilizes the same ingredients that are used for drug companies to get drugs to go into the brain across
mm-hmm.
the blood-brain barrier. So they know it, and it's just a matter of time before enough kids have to suffer at the hands of ignorant medical doctors and naive parents and trusting parents before a shift finally happens.
Larry, why are these ingredients in these shots? Instead, we're not talking about the pathogens themselves. We're talking about adjuvants and preservatives and other
mm-hmm.
ingredients. Can you
Correct.
Talk about those a little?
Well, the adjuvant that's used is an aluminum adjuvant. And because vaccines are meant to produce a very significant antibody response, the adjuvant has to be a good catalyst to make the immune system create a good immune response against the bacterial and viral antigens. And that
mm-hmm.
adjuvant, that aluminum adjuvant, is a nanoparticle. And the nanoparticles are very tightly bound to the bacterial and viral antigens and any other antigen that may not be known that's contaminating the vial. Those nanoparticles also are in the same soup of something called an emulsifier, which is polysorbate 80. And polysorbate 80 and aluminum nanoparticles are capable of crossing the blood-brain barrier, of crossing any cell in the body and bringing with it any of the bacterial and viral antigens and or contaminants that are bound to the adjuvant that can go in the cells, past the cell membrane, and across the blood-brain barrier into the brain, causing inflammation. And
wow.
this is the same technology that's used by the drug companies to get drugs to go across the blood-brain barrier, nanoparticles plus emulsifiers, which is polysorbate 80. And so it's the same technology to get drugs to go into the brain. So by definition, they know that they're using a technology that drags bacterial and viral antigens and any other contaminants attached to the nanoparticle into the brain, because they're using the same chemicals.
Right.
So whether it's intentional or not can be a debate for the ages. But nonetheless, this is why we're seeing so many children who are given the injections have so many neurodevelopmental disabilities and autoimmune disabilities and immune disabilities, because these nanoparticles and emulsifiers, Polysorbate 80, and then the sorbitol in the MMR, all capable of destroying mitochondria and destroying brain cells. And it's right there in the literature. It's right there. It's just whether or not people are willing to accept that this is happening.
So is it possible, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, is it possible that they can make these injections do what they're supposed to do without these nasty additives?
Well, theoretically, you're probably on to something. But I don't think anybody has ever tried.
No.
And that's where you go back to what is the intention of putting nanoparticles and emulsifiers into vaccines when vaccine ingredients do not belong in the brain and do not help any type of health issue other than to destroy the health of the child.
And you do continuous, passionate education with parents so that they understand that this is not just a quick and easy decision. Well, I don't want my child to get measles. This is, if you make this decision to take the measles vaccine, which of course comes in a cocktail now, you are making a bigger decision that you're adding all this other stuff that has the potential of inflaming your child's brain.
Correct. And the emulsifier in the MMR, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, is sorbitol. And sorbitol is similar to polysorbate 80 in that it does cross the blood-brain barrier. And as you and I have heard for decades, parents take their children to the doctor, the children get their MMR, and within hours, days, weeks, and months, parents watch their kids have seizures, sometimes die, lose speech, bang their head against the wall, lose eye contact, arm flapping, vocal stims, physical stims, and the doctors continuously gaslight these parents and say, no, it has nothing to do with the MMR, when in fact the very ingredients in the MMR allow for passage of material from the shot and from the bloodstream to go into the brain, across the blood-brain barrier, and cause inflammation.
Wow.
And one of the basic pathophysiological findings in children along the spectrum of neurodevelopmental disabilities is neuroinflammation. And so, again, if you have neuroinflammation as an underlying pathophysiology in your kid's condition, wouldn't you want to question how does that get there? If you're a parent and you're one of millions of parents who tell the same story over and over and over again, my kid got the MMR and then lost the kid, then died, then had a seizure, was never the same, didn't walk, didn't talk, didn't look at me anymore. Wouldn't it behoove the medical community and the scientific community to say, hold on a second, if these parents are right and we see this observation, isn't it our responsibility to say to ourselves, what's in this shot that so many of these parents are experiencing this happening in front of them? Instead, these parents are gaslit, and the reason they're gaslit is because the authorities know the truth, but they don't want everyone to know the truth.
Wow. And we were hearing this back in the 90s when DDR did a survey in 1995. The parents told us that their kids changed. And sometimes, as you just pointed out, it could be a seizure or a high fever or lack of losing eye contact. But sometimes, like Barbara Lo Fisher's son, who we both are good friends with, his issues showed up later as learning disabilities and attention problems, and it's impossible to nail that to a vaccination that occurred years before, and to even prove this. And unfortunately, the parents can't prove it, the doctors don't have records of it, and our system doesn't allow us to be able to document that and get compensation for it.
Correct, yeah. I mean, in the case of Barber's son, he had shock. He had neuroinflammation within hours of getting his DTP shot. So the fact of the matter is that we don't associate neuroinflammation with later changes, even though shows that children who have, and even animals that undergo brain inflammation, go on to have motor and behavioral abnormalities later on.
Right, Larry. This is fascinating, and I know our listeners are glued to this. We need to take a little break, and when we come back, I'd love you to go into some of your education on wellness and prevention and tell parents what they can do if they've seen these behavioral changes and other things they can do besides taking shots to prevent this from happening. This is Patricia Lemmer. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. My guest today, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, is a veteran pediatrician, and we're thrilled to have him. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detective. My guest today, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, is talking to us about what happens when kids get shots. Larry, we didn't talk about how these numbers of shots have accelerated so much. It's not just what's in them, but how frequently they're given and in how many numbers they're given at one time during these, quote, wellness visits. Those are issues, too, aren't they?
Yes, they are, Patty. When I was a medical student from 1983 to 1987, we gave kids the DPT, the oral polio, and the MMR
period,
then,
the end.
I'm sorry?
And period. That was it.
That was it. And then in 1985, they introduced the first Haemophilus influenza B vaccine that was only given to kids 18 months and older. And that was an inefficient vaccine. So it was revamped and reintroduced in 1987, still to only kids 18 months and older. And then it was in 1989 that the HIB, Haemophilus influenza vaccine, was given to 2 months of age and older. And so now it was the DPT and the oral polio and the HIB at 2, 4, 6 months, and then after a year there were different schedules, along with the MMR. Then in 1991, the hepatitis B vaccine came for all newborns. And then in 1995, the varicella vaccine, the chickenpox, for all 12 months and older. And then in the 2000s, we have the Prevnar, and then the Gardasil came on. And in there, the flu shot was then mandated for kids. And, you know, the numbers kept going.
Yeah.
And the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices never stopped to question what was the relationship between giving two vaccines, three vaccines, four vaccines, five vaccines together versus only one at a time. And they said, they've even said in their committee meetings, we've never tested it, but we advise giving it anyway. And because the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices said it and the CDC stamped it, then all the trades, the American Academy of Pediatrics, American Academy of Family Practitioners, and all the doctors just said, okay, whatever you say. And no evidence of safety has ever been gathered to understand what the cumulative effect is of these shots on these kids.
Isn't that amazing? So, Larry, in your lectures, and I've heard you so many times passionately talk to parents about how they can take control of making sure that their kids are healthy, what are some of the many lifestyle changes that you think are really important that parents implement so that they don't have to look at the possibility of vaccination as the only way to assure that their kids aren't going to get sick? And even more, we can talk about how getting sick isn't the end of the world, and that your body gets sick, and that's maybe a good thing.
Yeah. Well, again, there are a couple of paradigm shifts here, Patty. One is
right.
The fact that the current culture of Western civilization tells people that what you eat has no effect on your health. So you have the ear, nose, and throat doctors, the pulmonologists, the dermatologists, the cardiologists, the neurologists, the gastroenterologists predominantly saying as a group, you can eat anything you want. It doesn't have anything to do with your health condition. The rheumatologist, your joints, the health of your joints has nothing to do with the foods that you eat. And so we have a lot of work to do in educating parents that giving children sugar, giving children dyes, preservatives, additives, food colorings, giving kids processed foods, giving kids fast foods, being convenient, oh, at least my kid ate something. These are things that we want to try to begin further educating parents that
right.
A runny nose isn't just a cold. A runny nose and ear pain and a sore throat and a tummy ache can also be because your child has inflammatory responses appropriately to things that you're feeding the child that are not appropriate for the health of the body. And so we also want to move towards another paradigm shift, which is an acute illness in children is rarely an infection and almost always an appropriate response to inappropriate conditions. In other words, the body has the ability to heal itself. And if you put too many poisons, too many toxins, too many waste products, too much inflammation into the body, body's going to be smart and say, okay, I can't get rid of these in the normal means that I normally get rid of these. I'm going to have to augment my function to get rid of them. And that's what fever, cough, runny nose, mucus production, vomiting, diarrhea, rash, malaise, I just don't feel well, looks like. Those are natural, inborn, talented aspects of the body that say, time to clean out. And if anything, the microorganisms that are on our bodies are helping the body do that, not causing the body to do that.
I love that. So, Larry, are you still lecturing to families about this?
I do podcasts more than in-person lectures, but I do still do lectures at conferences. And, again, these are paradigm-shifting times because you still have parents and doctors who just want to know what remedy to give to make the symptoms better. And if it's not going to be a medication, maybe it can be a safer product like an herb or homeopathy or a nutraceutical or something else. But my focus is and always has been on how did we get here? How do we change the course? How do we empower parents to do it themselves so that they're not relying on providers to always give them their fixes?
So are some of your podcasts available online?
I have a website, drpalevsky.com, and in the media section in my newsletters, there are tons and tons and tons of interviews that I've done and lectures that I've given.
Wonderful. And if people have a question, they can email you on that website?
Well, I don't answer medical questions for patients who aren't already in my practice. But
right.
There is a section on my website called If Your Child is Sick, and it's a huge, huge free amount of information for parents to understand how to take care of their kids when their kids are sick so that they don't necessarily have to run to the doctor. And there's definitely a lot of information on there on why avoiding over-the-counter medicines is essential for helping your children get well when they are sick.
Terrific. Larry, it's time for another break. And so if you're listening, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Dr. Larry Pilevsky and his wisdom on keeping your child well. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. Dr. Larry Pilevsky has spoken beautifully about what's going on with today's children. Larry, you talked about how the world has changed, the number of vaccines and their ingredients has accelerated so much. But the world's changed in a lot of other ways. You know, we used to play outside at night until the street lights came on, and we did not have cell phones, and nobody worried about our safety. We built forts in the woods. You know, I sound like an old crotchety grandma. But, you know, things aren't like that anymore. How have lifestyle changes interfered with our children's psychological development and the development of their brains?
Well, Patty, you know, I mean, I know we're of similar age or being on in years, what I've noticed over the decades of being alive and being a pediatrician is that parents have become more fearful and more protective of their children. That's not a judgment; it's an observation.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, there has been an increase in what I call fixing, solving, correcting, and answering. In other words, children are less likely to get anything wrong or to fail. Children are less likely to make mistakes or not know the answer. Children are less likely to have to figure things out or solve their own problems because parents are more likely to step in and fix, solve, answer, and correct. And
wow.
So what ends up happening, Patty, is that the child doesn't develop his or her own ownership of knowledge. It's all dumped into the child by outside educational sources.
Wow.
And so you don't get the cerebrum, the higher brain centers, the frontal cortex, to develop fully because the development of that frontal cortex really happens through trial and error, experience, scientific method, failing, doing it again, failing, doing it again, observing, discovering, exploring, determining. These are the steps that must happen. And when I look at parents in the office or in a lecture and I say, what do you think you're accomplishing if you answer your child's question or you solve your child's problem or you correct your child's mistake? You're actually not empowering them to develop the skill set that they need to problem solve or to go out into the world and understand how to deal with things that are not familiar to them, because you were so grand in fixing it for them, writing their letter to college, calling their professor or graduate professor, or, you know, paying somebody off to write the essay, or answering the question instead of making them figure it out themselves, that they ended up not having any skill set. So what do they end up doing when they grow older and get out of your house? Is they just find other people who are going to give them the answers so they can maintain their sense of knowledge, but it's really no ownership. And so what we have is... What was that?
It's pretty incredible. You know, I used to tell parents that we wanted kids to make small mistakes, like go outside without a sweater and get cold and know that, oh, I should have put my sweater on, instead of making big mistakes like driving drunk, and mm-hmm. We wanted them to be able to problem solve these small decisions. And you're right, the parents are jumping in. Oh, put your sweater on, it's cold out. Well, suppose he didn't put his sweater on. You know, he'd right. learn that it's cold out.
Right. When a child asks a question in my office or when I'm around, I never answer it, Patty. I always turn around to the kid and I say, I don't know, what do you think? Yep. Because I want to know what the child sees in the world. I don't think the child's going to be any smarter by having my knowledge dumped into his head.
I love that.
Not his.
Right. And we learn from experience. That's been proven over and over and over and over again, that kids learn from experience, not because somebody told them.
Right, but unfortunately, we're not shifting to a culture that encourages that anymore. And so this is how we cultivate a population that becomes subservient and obedient to an authority, because we're training them as young kids to be obedient and subservient to the knowledge and the understanding of the world from the parents of today. Plus,
so,
you then have the devices that then make it less likely for children to problem solve, to think. And, you know, a brand new study came out of MIT which basically showed that when young men and women use ChatGPT or other AI, less than half of them actually remember anything of what they wrote after using ChatGPT for a paper or some project. So they're not retaining.
I was hoping you would quote that study, because that was just so conclusive and supportive of what you and I know happens.
Right, but we're going to have to do is we're going to have to watch these young men and women who are losing higher brain capacity and thinking capacity and problem-solving capacity because of the effects of using the devices and the ChatGPT. And so I'll go so far as to say, I'll go out on a limb here, Patty, this is a design, this is a grand design, and the population doesn't understand that this was the design of these devices and of AI, which would then make the population completely inept and completely subservient, so that you could just take over and have your one world government and have your George Orwellian 1984. And it's sad, because we're going to have to see this through to the end, when these young men and women in their teen years and their 20s and 30s who are losing higher brain function then have to realize that they can't hold a job, they can't problem solve, they don't know how to get themselves in and out of a paper bag. No skill set. And this is the challenge that we're faced with unless we make a 90 degree or even a 270 degree turn to fix this ship.
Well, so Larry, this is fabulous. I'm so glad that you'd mentioned that study. We'd have to take our last break. And when we come back, I look forward to your advice to parents on what's something you call mindful parenting, how they can help their kids without making them cripples by doing everything for them. It's a thin line for them to know how they can encourage their kids, make them more resilient, less anxious, more independent, and successful. You're listening to the Autism Detectives with my guest pediatrician, Dr. Larry Pilevsky. We'll be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism.
Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. We've been having a fascinating conversation with veteran pediatrician Dr. Larry Pilevsky. Larry, COVID was a big deal for a lot of our kids. They missed family gatherings. They missed some important milestones, some of them, graduation, birthday parties, trips that they could have taken, and a lot of them have come out of this with psychologically not so sound, with a lot of anxiety about the future, a lot of feelings of incompetence. And what advice would you give to parents who are seeing some of this despair and depression and anxiety in their kids?
Well, Patty, I mean, you said it. There's no doubt that social isolation and the increased fear of what was called an infection definitely heightened children's anxiety, families' anxiety, and you watched children not be able to socialize and grow and develop. So there were pockets of emotional development that were lost,
right,
because isolation definitely increases anxiety and increases depression. But we've been out of COVID for a while, and although some people still think we're in it, the challenge we have is understanding that anxiety really happens because of a fear of the unknown and a fear of getting something wrong or failing. It's an anticipation of the future. It doesn't have anything to do with the present moment. And so those opportunities to try things, to explore things, to investigate, to have an experience, those were curtailed during COVID. So the exercise of having experiences was diminished. And in order to overcome a lot of that anxiety, it's necessary to provide safety in the area of unknown and uncertainty so that the children can then explore and investigate and go through a trial and error and have these experiences and not feel like the world is going to end or that they have to know the outcome before they even try it.
I love that.
We must allow, you see, when children grow and develop, Patty, they do it because they're curious. And they do it because they feel safe enough to go into the unknown and to the uncertainty. And they're not worried about the outcome.
Right.
Because they're so in the moment that they're just willing to explore it. And our job as the parents and as the guardians is really just to make it safe. But as I've seen in parenting in the last 30-plus years, which COVID only worsened, is that we're not letting kids struggle. We're not letting them fail. We're not letting them go through aches and pains because we've decided as a population, that discomfort is illegal. and that everyone is allergic to discomfort, when in fact, discomfort is 50% of life. Comfort is the other 50% of life.
Right.
But the take-home lesson here is that neither lasts. You know, you can eat a piece of chocolate cake, but towards the end of eating it, you don't have the same comfort you had when you first started.
Right.
But we allow the comfort to proceed through a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then we move on. What we're doing when kids have a discomfort is we're becoming hysterical, and we're becoming reactive, and we're very manic, and we feel so stimulated that we have to take it away because we can't let kids have any discomfort. And that's how we steal their growth and development and increase their anxiety, because they never learn through experience, through an embodied experience, that being uncomfortable has a beginning, has a middle, has an end. And when it's over, they get to open their eyes and realize they didn't die and that the world didn't end and that they can actually go on. And that's what we're missing in our culture to help kids grow and prosper and develop, is allowing for discomfort to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and let the child experience, wow, I made it. I did it.
I love that, Larry. That's so good. And so we can provide those experiences with summer camp, with trips, with letting them veer off in the woods and go on these outward bound kind of experiences where they experience discomfort and have to dig deep for resources to get out of trouble.
Correct.
So what would your final words be to parents of and keeping their kids well, holistically well, good food, lots of movement, good sound sleep. What else?
So diet, exercise, grounding, oceans, lakes, pools,
water,
woods, forests, sunshine, outside, lake, bike riding, running, climbing, playing, being in nature is very important, and being free in a safe environment, very important. Let your kids struggle, but, you know, within reason, certainly. You're not going to let your kid play in the street where there's four lanes of cars going up and down. But let your kids struggle a little bit. Let them learn through their experiences. And certainly good sleep is very important. Adequate sleep. Make sure that, you know, the children are sleeping soundly, and that there's a lot of time for free play and exploration. I have mothers and fathers in my practice, Patty, who have children who are addicted to video games and addicted to devices and addicted to social apps and media. And I look at them and I say the following. You do understand that this only increases anxiety, it only increases depression, and it only decreases learning and higher brain function. It decreases executive function. It decreases the development of emotional quotient as well as intelligent quotient. And it is stopping brain development. And so it's not enough, Patty, for parents to say to me, oh, but what else am I going to do? We need some real parenting here, Patty. These kids need to get off the devices and out into nature.
Larry, this has been so profound and so enlightening. I hope that parents will listen, and that those of you who are on the line now will pass this amazing interview on to your friends. Dr. Larry Pilevsky, you've been around a long time,
and your wisdom just increases, and I'm so excited to have you on my show and have you share this knowledge with my listening audience. So thank you for coming on, and I am grateful for all that you've taught me and my clients.
You're welcome, Patty, and thank you for inviting me. I always enjoy our conversations.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic and expensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.